Have you any idea of the numbers involved?
No, not the figures, no, I couldn't.
Would it be sort of hundreds?
Oh, yeah, thousands? Yeah. Well, I believe the... I forget what the population of Gibraltar was at the time of the outbreak of war, but I would have said a good half of that were evacuated in that first evacuation, you know, allowing for all children and all that sort of thing, yes. But actual figure-wise, no, I wouldn't like to quote the figure.
Can you remember at all how you first heard about evacuation?
Oh, yes. As I say, it was fully organised and promulgated throughout the town, you know, and how you were to go, and either, I think it was done by enough medical order or some system like that. But it was all promulgated, so you knew roughly when you was going to go, and you had to get everything prepared, you know, processions and all that prepared, and so that you was ready to go on the date that you went, you know. I always remember the day I went, it was a Sunday. It was just like driving through a cemetery. It was so quiet and, you know, where there's so many people had gone already, and the mood was so despondent, shall we say, you know, for having to leave, you know, having to go away, like, yeah.
I was going to ask you how your family reacted.
Well, it was only my mother and me involved in this particular case, because we were the only two in the family, like, you know, father had to stay. But I must point out that my mother and father were separated by this time.
Did you have any idea where you were going, where you were going to be sent?
Yes, we knew we was going to North Africa, or to Casablanca, put it more properly. But we knew we wouldn't stay in Casablanca, that we would be sent to other parts of you know, North Africa. And we've only heard names of places, but we didn't know exactly where we were actually going, you know. We did end up eventually in Marrakesh. That's where we went, but people were going to Rabat, Agadir, also, most of the places along the coast. And we was, well, fortunate or unfortunate, we got to Marrakesh. I don't know, I liked it there.
Can you remember how you felt about going to North Africa, what it meant to you?
I was, to be honest with you, I won't say excited, but I wasn't. I mean, the older people would have been, but I wasn't as a child, I suppose. I took it all as an adventure, more or less, you know.
How about your mother?
Well, I think, as I say, the older people were very upset about going, you know, in every way, and could only get back quick enough, you know. That's the only thing I can say about the older people, yes.
Can you remember what you took with you? You mentioned earlier on that you prepared...
Well, mostly clothes and bedding in the way of mattress, and I don't think we took any cooking utensils, but I don't know. We did take bedding and clothes mostly, I think. I think that was about it, yeah.
Would the climate have been a warm one?
Yes.
You didn't expect cold weather at all?
Oh, no. We would. We knew that we would be going to, you know, the climate would be warm, and that wouldn't be any change in that respect.
What did you leave behind? You know, what did your mother do with her house?
Well, the house actually didn't belong to us. We was only sort of renting it. But as regards to the... it only applied to us, of course. The house was demolished just after we left to make room in preparation for what is the airport today in Gibraltar. And the house was demolished. And of course, what we left in furniture had to go in storage until we returned. But that only applied to our house, nobody else's, I'm afraid. That was it was part of the scheme to make the airport, which was needed, which was eventually built, and today is the civil airport there.
Did you actually go back after the war to Gibraltar to live?
No.
Did your mother?
Yes.
And what happened to her regarding a house then, since this one was demolished?
Well, there was no house there. When they went back to Gibraltar, the housing situation, where the population had probably increased while they were in England, they went back mostly to centres or reception centres, like which we did coming over to, in actual fact. Just the reverse, actually. They went back to be housed in hotels and whatever there was room for them to be until such time as they could be rehoused, which is the same thing as happened in England after the war. You know, people looking for somewhere to live and being housed in Nissen huts and prefabs and things. Well, the same thing happened on the return to Jim. My mother was, first of all, housed in a hotel and then in a convent. And eventually she was given a Nissen hut, converted into, you know, like a sort of a prefab inside, you know. Yeah.
Did she eventually get a house there, a proper house?
No, because she came to England. But eventually she would have got, not a house, it would have been a flat, because with the rebuilding in Gibraltar that's been going on since the end of the war, it's been mostly flats because of the space, you know. There's no great space to sort of splay out, like, you know, it's got to be upward all the time. Right.
What was the situation regarding your schooling when you were evacuated? What sort of stage had you reached?
Well, I went to, I think it was classed as a grammar school in Gibraltar, which was run by the Christian Brothers. And when I left there, I was on their sixth standard, which I don't know what the equivalent is in English schooling, because I didn't do any English schooling. But I know at the time we were learning French and, as I say, it was at grammar school, so, and we were doing algebra and things like that, so I should imagine it would have been quite a, you know, higher sort of class, like, you know, in the equivalent in British or English schooling, like. Do you want me to carry on with this? Because there's an interesting point here. When we were evacuated to England, and after we'd been over here a few months, the question of schooling for the children came into, because we was billeted in hotels and things like that, you know, places like that. And the question of schooling came up. And I went to school in the Albert Museum, Victorian Albert Museum in Brompton Road, which was half closed in those days. One small part of it was open still for the public, and the rest of it was closed. And in part of the ones that was closed, it was opened as a school for the local Gibraltarian evacuees in the area. That was the education.
Yes, I want to ask you a lot about that later on.
Yes.
But if we could go back to Gibraltar,
yes.
What sort of expectations did you have of schooling? How long did you expect to stay at school then?
Well, the same as it was in England then, until the age of 14. That was, you know, exactly the same as in Britain, like, or in England.
And you would have left with a qualification, would you? A school leaving certificate, do you think?
Well, I don't know if there had been a school leaving certificate, but you just left school and gone on to work. Most of the boys did. There was very little in the way of certificates or anything like that at that time. You know, as I say, all the education was done by the Christian Brothers, which are now finished.
When you were evacuated, was there any sort of hope of keeping schools together? Was there any idea of that?
No.
You just went as a family unit?
Yes, mostly family units, yes. Nothing to do with the rest of the... As I say, when you got to... in the first evacuation, when you got to Casablanca, you was dispersed to different areas. I mean, one group might go off to Marrakesh, the other group might go off to Fez or Agadir. So there was no keeping it together in that respect. Family units, as much as possible, yes.
Do you think that helped you, you know, to settle, to feel less anxious because you were in family units?
Probably to the bigger families, yes. Because it didn't apply so much to me or to my mother, because it was only the two of us. What other members of the family there were, they'd either already gone or they'd gone to another part of North Africa. So there was, I suppose with the other families, it was a big help, I suppose, with the family groups, yes.
Was it a help to you to have your mother?
Oh, yes. Well, as I say, at the age, I would have been lost on my own, I suppose, yes.
I wonder if we could now go back to the day of evacuation.
Yes.
If you could describe in as great a detail as possible
right. What
happened.
Well, I'm referring now to the first evacuation. And as I say, all the preparations had been made, furniture taken away and what we were going to take with us all prepared, including mattresses and bedding. And on the appointed day, we had a taxi to take us to the dockyard. Now, this is, I must point this out, because normally civilian ships did not leave from the dockyard. They left from a civilian port, which is on the other side of the harbour. But we left from the from the dockyard, and of course there was a band there and all this. And we boarded the ship sort of early afternoon and sailed in the evening, so it was a night passage to Casablanca, which is our port of call, where we landed or arrived at in the early hours of the morning. It's only an overnight journey.
What was the scene at the dockyard like? Was it, you know, very crowded?
Well, not extremely crowded, but you know, there was people there saying cheerio and all that, so all the people that were going and all that. It wasn't a big line, I think, it was only a small ship. Something El Kabir, I think it was called. Mohammed El Kabir or something like that. It was run by it was a Moroccan ship. And another point of interest there, I think it was sunk later on in the Indian Ocean, taking home some of the Indian traders from Gibraltar back to India.
Could you spell the name?
Well, I think it was, I'm not quite sure, but it was Mohammed El Kabir. Yes, that's Mohammed, you know, that's Mohammed El. And I think it's K-E-B-I-R, but I'm not exactly certain, but I think that was by the name of it. But it was sunk later on in the Indian Ocean. I did read later on that when it was taking some of the, because in Gibraltar, most of the trading in those days was done by Indians. Well, I don't know if they're called Indians today or Pakistanis or what, but they ran all the bazaars in the main street. And they were evacuated in the second evacuation, and most of them were taken back to India. And a lot of them never got there, fortunately. But that ship was involved in one of the evacuations.
They didn't get there because they were bombed, their ships
Torpedoed. That ship particularly was.
What do you think of the organisation of that first evacuation, getting you all organised and onto the boats?
Well, there was only one ship involved, I believe. It was the same ship all the time. So it went over, came back and so on, you know. One fleet of ships, something like that. Now, this is the first evacuation, of course. Very well organised, yes. Even after we got settled into the different places in Morocco or North Africa, I'd like to call it, even then the people that were organising or representative of the evacuation, they did a very good job, I thought, you know, under the circumstances.
It went quite smoothly, didn't
yes,
it, getting
yes,
the people
yes,
onto the boat
yes.
and settled. Mm-hmm. What sort of accommodation did you have on the boat? Can
well,
you remember?
The boat, oh no, it was... Well, you just plunked down where you... There was no cabin or nothing like that. It was just... I'd say it was only an overnight trip, so there was no question of... you just settled down where there was room, and you just settled down there for the trip. Like, as I say, it was only a short trip. Not wasn't very comfortable, but there was no staterooms or nothing like that. You know, just settled down where you could, that's all.